Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. At the October 2012 General Conference, a 70 by the name of Larry Echohawk gave a talk called Come Unto Me, O Ye House of Israel. And in that talk, he made the comparison with the Lamanite people, the American Indians, with being the House of Israel, or the Jewish people having Semitic heritage. And what we discuss is the fact that the science really doesn't prove that. But he also made another comment in his talk where he says, on page 33, and this is found in the November issue, 2012, of Ensign Magazine, he says, on page 33, the Book of Mormon is sacred scripture. It contains the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The prophet Joseph Smith wrote that, quote, the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion. And a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Mm. Now, this is a quote that's found in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, but his reference is from a vetted correlated manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Smith, which came out in 2007. He has the references page 64. This is basically a modern quotation. It's not a new quotation, but it has certainly been confirmed in a modern text that the Mormons are supposed to believe is giving them doctrinal truth. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. When we look at an article that came out in the December 2012 issue of the Ensign, 1 month later, this same theme was being emphasized once again. On page 8, there's an article under the What We Believe section, and it says the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. Mm-hmm. Now, you've heard us emphasize many times when Mormons say, well, hey, we're Christians too. We believe the gospel too. Remember, they believe their gospel is what's called the restored gospel. If you, as a Bible-believing Christian, don't believe the restored gospel, somebody has another gospel. Mm-hmm. If it's not the original, which we believe we have, then it's the restored, which the Mormons have, and we both can't be right. We could both be wrong, but we can't both be right. So that shows a distinction.
And what you're saying is completely confirmed in the first paragraph. Let me read this first paragraph because it explains what Joseph Smith history also explains, that none of the churches were true. It says this, after the crucifixion of the Savior and death of his apostles, people changed some of the doctrines and ordinances of the gospel. Even though many good people believed in Jesus Christ and tried to understand and teach his gospel, the fullness of truth was no longer available. The result was varying stages of apostasy among the surviving Christians. While they had many truths, none of them had the fullness of Christ's doctrines, ordinances, or priesthood. Now, that's supposed to make us feel better, Bill.
Well, it goes right along with the first vision.
It certainly does.
Now, we know that there really was no first vision in Mormon history until many years after the Mormon Church started, but that's really what most modern Mormons look at as being the starting point. They believe that God the Father and Jesus appeared to Joseph Smith, told him that all the churches were wrong, all their creeds were an abomination, and their professors were all corrupt. They believe that the church fell into what's known, as you have just read, this great apostasy. It's interesting how they use varying stages of apostasy. That's not really how a lot of Mormons in the early years described it. there was this great apostasy, a universal apostasy.
Well, they've made it sound better, too, by saying people changed some of the doctrines and ordinances of the gospel. I mean, really, when it comes down to, if Mormonism is true, we have changed everything.
And we do not have what is necessary in order to receive the best which God has for his people. Because, and that's the point.
Because we don't have the priesthood.
That's right.
We don't have a prophet today.
Exactly. If we don't have that priesthood, right there, your claim to Christianity becomes suspect because, as we learn from another talk that was given in October of 2012 by Robert D. Hales, this is part of what makes you a Christian. You have to believe this first vision. You have to believe in all these things that the Mormon Church has come forth and believes to be true in order to be a Christian, as he said. Now, going on in this article, the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. It says, "Our Heavenly Father knew that this gradual loss of truth would occur, so he preserved the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in an ancient volume of scripture comparable to the Bible." Okay. It says in here that in the early 1800s, a heavenly messenger named Moroni directed Joseph Smith to where this holy scripture had lain hidden for centuries. Written on golden plates, this record contained the writings of prophets telling of God's dealings with some of the ancient inhabitants of the Americas. The prophet Joseph Smith translated the writings on these plates by the gift and power of God. In other words, by looking at a rock in a hat, and characters would appear on the rock, and he would read these characters off to his scribe, who would read them back, and if correct, they would go on to the next set of characters. This is the translation by the gift and power of God. Notice, he's not even looking at the plates. He's looking at a rock.
Let me just throw something out here. We've seen this kind of a change in the last few years. Notice golden plates, not
yes.
Gold plates.
Notice they're not very specific about this either. This is one thing that I have found that the church has often been reluctant to go full bore into this whole Tumbaga theory. Not that they haven't had articles that talk about this, but they throw that word golden out, and you can almost take it any way you want. They try not to be very specific about that. I think the Mormon leadership knows that the plates could not possibly have been made of gold, and then Joseph Smith carried them under his arm for a distance of at least 3 miles. Fending off attackers and running at the top of his speed at times. They know this. So now they use the word golden. Although I know in talking to Mormons, they certainly do believe they were actually made of the metal gold. The next column said that this record is the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. So this record, the Book of Mormon, has what's known as the fullness of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was to ask a Latter-day Saint, define for me what is it that is the fullness of the everlasting gospel, the fullness of the gospel, and I have asked many Latter-day Saints this question, the answer that I usually get is very similar to what Joseph Fielding Smith said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 159. Let me read that. It says, "Fullness of the gospel. By fullness of the gospel is meant all the ordinances and principles that pertain to the exaltation in the celestial kingdom." That's what Joseph Fielding Smith said. This article is implying, I have to assume, that what's in the Book of Mormon is all the ordinances and principles that pertain to the exaltation in the celestial kingdom.
Well, I mean, just on the right side on page 9, number 3, that we have that quote that comes from Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 64. "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct book on earth and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get near to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book." They're making it very clear that it's the Book of Mormon that's the most correct. This is an old quote. It's been used many different times, but here in this article, it's being emphasized, no doubt.
I have asked Mormons time and time again, "Are you telling me that if all I had was a copy of the Book of Mormon and I followed it to the letter, that I would end up in the celestial kingdom, and they always assure me, absolutely. But of course, if that's the case, I wouldn't even know there was a celestial kingdom to shoot for, because the Book of Mormon never mentions the celestial kingdom. It never mentions these unique ordinances that Joseph Fielding Smith is talking about, or these principles that pertain to exaltation. The Book of Mormon doesn't really even talk about exaltation in the context of what modern Mormons believe that to be. If I was to ask a modern Latter-day Saint, define for me what you think exaltation is, what are the words that they would use? Godhood, eternal life. A Lamanite or a Nephite in the Book of Mormon probably would not understand it in that context, because it's not defined that way in the Book of Mormon. So when this article says that he preserved the fullness, Heavenly Father preserved the fullness of the gospel in an ancient volume of scripture comparable to the Book of Mormon, and that this record is the Book of Mormon, I have to say that's misleading, because that's not the case. You are not going to find what is necessary in a Mormon context, what is necessary in order to achieve the top level of the celestial kingdom, known as the Church of the Firstborn.
Well, if it's the most correct book on earth, then why did God have to give Joseph Smith the Doctrine and Covenants? I mean, wouldn't you say that the Doctrine and Covenants has much more in the way of doctrine of the four standard works than anything else?
Absolutely. I would say that the Doctrine and Covenants clarifies a lot of the terms that we often hear Mormons use. And it's not that the Book of Mormon doesn't use terms that are familiar to us as Protestant believers, as evangelical believers, but then that makes perfect sense, because as I've often said, when I read the Book of Mormon, I don't get the impression I'm reading a story of ancient Mormons. They sound like confused Protestants.
I think you're exactly right.
But what is misleading about this article is it gives you the impression that all your questions will be answered if you just read the Book of Mormon. All the questions you may have about your next life, the eternal life, is all going to be answered in the Book of Mormon. We're going to talk about this, because that just is not true.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormon's Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormon's Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.